Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, the Little Green Pasture. Well, it's good to be back again. It's only been a few days, but sometimes I think I could do a whole lot more of these than I actually do, but I'm told by my other friends that have channels, they say if you do it too much, people will stop listening. But anyways, it's good to go with the flow of the Lord and to do what the Lord's calling us to do, no matter what other people are experiencing. So are we all not workers for the Lord? All of us want to be breaking up fallow ground in our own little fields and being aware of all the things that our master is calling us to do. That's the kind of servants that we want to be to the Lord. We're joyful servants, happy servants, because we have a wonderful master, Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to start praying right now because there are some things I want to share. And I just feel that feeling like, let's just get started. So please pray with me. Dearest Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you are that spring of life, that water that flows down from heaven into our vessels, Lord God, a continual stream. And Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise your name, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that you're with me today and that as I speak, you will be with my mouth. From the moment I open it, Lord, let your living waters flow forth out of my belly. And Lord, fill me with your strength. And Lord, I pray for floods upon dry grounds of all those, Lord, that are thirsty. Oh, I love you, Lord, and I trust you. And Lord, I thank you for the joy that has been set before me, the enduring joy, the happy joy of the way of the cross. And I begin now, therefore I commit all into your hands with great joy and gratitude in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. So, sometimes it's hard for me to begin when I do these videos. It's like starting something that you want to say 10 things at one time, but you want to make sure you start, you get your things in order. And, you know, God is a God of order, and he knows that sometimes we're so full of his Holy Spirit. We're so full of that living water, like little fountains in us. We don't know exactly where to begin, but I'm just going to begin. And I appreciate so much for things that are not perfect. I love the imperfect because then we're real with one another, right? And it makes everything comfortable, peaceful. So I'm going to say this to whoever you are that have ears to hear. Whether you have a ministry, and I think we all have a ministry. I'm talking about people who are, you know, out there doing, like they have a ministry where they're doing things. But I say we all have a ministry. Wherever we are in this world today, we all have a ministry. Whether you're young or old, we've been given a ministry in the Lord. If you believe on him and you've put your trust in him, you have a ministry now. You have a light that shines in you. You have waters, springs of water welling up in you. And you have the word. You have everything that has been given to you, even though it doesn't really seem like it. But the reality is that you do. So it's not persons that, you know, have platforms and whatever it is that they're doing. Everybody has been called to something different. And you know what? I love that saying, the ground is all level at the cross. Amen. You know, I love the words of Amy Carmichael. She said, it was something to this effect. I wish I had it before me. But she said, if I covet nothing but the dust of the foot of the cross, then I know nothing of Calvary love. Well, you know what? These missions that we are all on, they must be done in the love of God. There's just no other way. And love expresses the love of God, which we don't have naturally, expresses itself. He expresses himself through us in so many ways. In the work of our hands and the things that we do and the places that we're going and the thoughts that we're having. In the rising and the falling and the rising again. And sometimes we reach cul-de-sac places in our lives, don't we? Do you ever feel like, you know, you whatever you've been given to do, whoever you are, whatever you do during your day, and it's a task out in this world. Maybe you're changing diapers, maybe you're driving a truck and you're going across the states. Maybe you are an executive, maybe you're a student. Whoever you are, these are the things that God has given to all of us to do in this world, because our life in this world touches the lives of others and we make a difference, even though things seem like, how can that be possible? But it really is possible. And it's more than possible, it's reality. So there's times, and then we feel the flow, right? Because even if there's ways that we all come to the Lord and we connect with him, we want to keep that flow from heaven coming through us, through always through prayer, always through reading his Bible. If you can't literally read it, you can listen to it, but let what is from eternity, what is from heaven, from the invisible, let it continually flow from that other world, from heaven where Christ is. I like to always say these days, we are heavenly people on a mission. So we can feel that flow many times, and we feel a happy joy and that strength to do the things that he's given us. But sometimes we hit cul-de-sacs where we wonder, you know, we start questioning things, and it's not a bad thing. It's not that you're questioning Christ, and maybe you are. And I want to talk about what I refer to as the holy argument. You see, we have these long runs that we can go weeks, days, weeks or months, and we feel a flow when we're flowing in the Spirit, whatever it is that we're doing, because I'm not always here, right? Like, I do this a couple of times a week, but I have a life, and his life flow is in what God has called me to do as a wife, as a mother, and a friend and a daughter, and all the things in between. Those things belong to Christ and they're given to me to do. Therefore, it is a gift. Like Elizabeth Elliot says, therefore, I'm responsible for it because it's been given to me to do from him. Even the unpleasant things that we just, but yet in those unpleasant things, we're aware of the fact that even in our disgust of doing it, like me, I hate cleaning ovens. I'm like, but sometimes a day comes where I have to clean the oven. And that may seem ridiculous to you, but there's always going to be things that come into our life that shake up what our normal routine is. And, you know, I read something, and I want to just say this, and I want to get going because I don't want to, because I can say a lot and I don't want to fan out. But I read something from 200 years ago from a woman who said, whenever you find yourself alone with the Lord and you're reading his Bible and you're talking to him in prayer, and she said, if the little ones need you, if something in your house demands you to leave your Bible and to stop you in the middle of your prayer, she said, then stop your prayer and pause from reading your Bible. Go to your children. Go to the thing in your house that's calling you, she said. And wherever it is that's calling you, she said, continue devotion in your prayer there. Go to him there. So we realize that the Lord's presence is always with us. He is everywhere. And we know this to be true, right? But so much of that is that we base our reality on a consciousness that, yes, His presence is everywhere. I know his presence is everywhere, but he wants us to live not in that kind of consciousness of that his presence is with us, but he wants us to live in the reality of it continually. After all, we are heavenly beings, soon one day to be heavenly citizens. And so I want to talk about this holy argument because I started to really feel myself like the cul-de-sac feeling I was talking to you about, where you start to really wonder, you start to question, it starts to lose its steam. There's something that doesn't feel like there's something else. You're slowly running out of gas, that feeling. Things aren't as vibrant as they used to be. Something is closing. And so there's that feeling of start. It kind of makes us feel like, you know, okay, well, Lord, is there, you know, we start going into prayer about it, but then we don't hear anything. It's very quiet and things continue on as they are. Well, I started to really feel that there is more, and we should always feel that there are more, because it's always, we're always, we should be anyways, increasing with the increase of God, that there's always something that's calling us higher, beckoning us to come up higher to Christ. You know, this morning I was thinking about all the places where Jesus says, come and see, come believe, come behold the Lamb, come and dine. And then I was thinking of the scriptures where it says, come down unto us, Lord, or come to me, God. And so there's this reciprocal, come to me, come to me, come to me. And this is where we go back and forth in this very real, beautiful relationship with the true and living God, with our Father who is in heaven, and with his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and who now lives in heaven, upholding all things by the word of his power. And like as Paul says, because he lives, we live. Well, I started to feel this cul-de-sac feeling, and I check in with him when I feel that. And I was saying, Lord, in prayer and in reading his word and in those holy pauses, I said, Lord, there, it feels like there's more. And I know that there's more. And I can't, it doesn't work. When you start feeling that, what do? We start to try to maybe read more devotional books. Maybe we try to maybe pray a little bit differently, or say something different in prayer, or read different chapters out in the Bible. And we find that it's empty. And that happened to me. This has happened to me before. Maybe this has happened to you. But I started to feel a stirring within me about a week ago. And I started to feel like I was just really like the sea tossed to and fro within me. And I couldn't get this prayer out of me. But the prayer itself was so deep, and it was developing, and it was gaining. It was coming to the surface. And there was things I wanted to say to him, but yet I felt in my own self, restricting myself, because in my own dumb humanity, I'm like, but I don't, I'm having a personal holy argument with myself. Like, you can't say that to him. It'll dishonor him. Just go forward. Keep doing what you're doing. And so I kept doing what I was doing, but yet the stirring was getting greater. I was feeling more undone as I went along. And I came across the story of Jesus when he came into Galilee, into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum. That was about 25 miles away. And he had heard that Jesus was in town, and he went to him, and he says to him, it says he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And this is what spoke to me. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. In case you're wondering, that's John chapter 4. You could read 45 all the way through the end of the chapter. But what struck me was, what had come down into the heart of this man. I think beforehand, hearing about this Jesus, and, you know, I mean, Jesus is on the scene now. Things are happening. He's hearing about the water being turned into wine, and other things that are not written in the book that John says, if they were written, the whole world would not be able to contain those things which were written of him. And so I believe that there was something already stirring in his heart. And that when he, because Jesus can only be in one place at one time. So hearing that he was in town, and he was a nobleman, and from what I understand through research, he was no doubt a businessman doing some sort of business in town because his home was in Capernaum. And so it says he besought Jesus, meaning he aggressively searched him out. And when he found him, it says, first of all, he went to him because he besought him out. So he was like, there is no other business that I have, but I'm going to seek him out. And it says, and he found him. And he tells him, he just says straight off, my son lies at the point of death. That's what it says. And Jesus says, except you see signs and wonders, you don't believe. I thought to myself in an instant, just like this, I said, there comes a point in time. And this was speaking to me. The word was speaking to me. There comes a point where you don't need to see signs and wonders anymore. It's not even about that anymore. You already believe. You're already done. You don't need signs and wonders to get you into a thrill, to get you frothed up. You're like, I don't need to see signs and wonders. It's not necessary. I know you can heal my son. Although these words weren't being said that, like there was a scenario in my head, the holy argument within me and my own inner wrestlings of myself with Christ. In other words, the Lord was saying to me, not that I'm a sign and wonder seeker, but he was pointing out to me in this word, that when this man heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. See, there comes a point where the thing's ready to fall off the cliff. Is there time now? Do you need now? I mean, it's like I left it back on the road, like 25 miles away back at home in Capernaum. And here I am in Cana of Galilee, and I heard you're here. And look, I'm going to get down to business because I'm a businessman. My son is at home at the point of death. So when Jesus said, unless you see signs and miracles, you won't believe. And he said, come down before my child dies. I mean, he completely bypassed what Jesus said. And that spoke to me where I said, Lord, I have something within me that bypasses me needing some kind of anything. Because I already know who you are. I already know who you are. And then shortly after, as I was going about my days, I came across a little story about a woman named Holy Ann. And this was from an old book, probably from the turn of the 19th, you know, the 20th century, early 1900s. And she lived in Ireland. She lived to be 100 years old. And she told a story about when she was a little girl. She was hired by a very cruel master and mistress. And they made her carry water for a mile up a steep hill. At one time, there had been a well dug there. It had gone dry, but it stood there year after year. And there was one night she was so tired and she fell on her knees and she cried. And while on her knees, she saw that her Bible was open and she saw these words in Isaiah 41 and verse 21. I will open up fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the dry land springs of water. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. And these words struck Holy Ann. And she produced her cause before the Lord. And she told him how badly they needed the water and how hard it was for her to carry the water up the steep hill. And then she lay down and fell asleep. See, she pleaded her cause and brought forth her strong reasons. The next morning early, she was seen to take a bucket and start for the well, and someone asked her where she was going, and she said, "I'm going to the well to draw water." And they said, "Well, it's dry." But that didn't stop Holy Ann. She knew whom she had believed on as she went, and lo and behold, there in the well was 83 feet of pure cold water. And she told, and she had said that the well, it was said of that well, that it never did run dry. And she told this person the story. And this is well over 100 years ago. And see, this is the way that God can fulfill his promises, that when we produce our cause and bring forth our strong reasons, we will see him work and on our behalf. I think of this method and how little we use this method, this holy argument in prayer. And yet there's so many examples of it in scripture. There was Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, Daniel, and the list is endless. And all through the ages, because I'm a reader and I've read so many stories, so many testimonies over the nearly 50 years I have been a Christian. And I have had my own holy arguments. So it brought me to this place. And that just so spoke to me what this certain nobleman did and how he bypassed it and said, "My son's at the point of death." He said, "Come down, just come. Okay, just come down before he dies." And so I thought to myself, I was so built up by this, and to produce my causes and bringing forth my strong reasons. And so I was really tossed to and fro yesterday. I mean, it came to a head. And so at one point I just went to bed. I woke up in the middle of the night. And I was thinking, my heart was churning. It felt like the seas that were churning, those night seas of Galilee. And I said to the Lord some things that were just between me and him. And then I fell asleep because I wanted to be sure about all that I'm doing in the Lord. That there's that why I said, "Lord, show me. Show me, am I on the right track? Show me the truth. Show me, Lord." And so I was falling asleep. I said, "I'll pray in the morning." I fell asleep and I had a dream. And this is what I dreamed. I dreamed my husband and I were on a trip. We were in the car. And we were on a journey. And I'm not sure where, but we were on a journey. And I said, "You know, we should probably stop off over in this motel and rest a while and then continue on our journey." And so we stopped, he goes in, pays for the room, we go to the room, he opens the door, he puts the bag on the bed, he disappears, he probably goes back to the car, whoever knows, whatever. And I'm standing there, and because we're people of low, we're like shoestring budget people, I mean, I thought, well, the room's not so bad, the furniture looks nice, but I looked on the floor. And I noticed, I said, I saw shoes all over the floor, and they were all so old, like worn down to the point where they were just no good anymore. I saw some had pairs. I saw men and women's shoes. I saw all different sizes. I saw some that were just sandals, rubber sandals, and they were filthy. Everything was dirty, like they had been worn. And I knew that nothing overlapped, that nobody was staying there. So I gathered all the shoes. I placed all the shoes underneath the bed, and some that had pairs, I put them with pairs, and others, I left them there. And just then my husband comes back, and we decided that we just really didn't want to stay there. And so we thought we would continue on our journey. When we came out, there was a man who approached us, and he was huge. And he looked like he was like 6'4". And he was huge, but he was dirty looking. He had stubble. He had a flannel shirt on, a white men's, you know, they call them wife beaters. Such a terrible name for it, but a men's tank. And he was scruffy, and he just came to us. He looked desperate, and he was saying, "Please, can you help me? I'm super needing help. I'm desperate." And we were leery of him, and we said, well, what's wrong? What do you want? And he just went on. I don't remember all the words, but he was profusely saying he needed help and that he needed a ride. And we said, well, we can give you a ride. And so the scene changes. We pull up to a hospital and he gets out of the car. We're like, I guess we should follow him. We got to make sure he's okay. So we follow him into the hospital and we go in. I think we went up like maybe a couple of floors, and somehow or another, I don't remember taking an elevator, but I knew that we were like in deep into the hospital. And he goes into an open door and he's standing at a desk and he's talking to a woman. And my husband and I were out of his periphery and we were sitting on chairs in the hallway. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the man like this, and I started to feel not so good about him. I said, like he was shady, and it was happening fast. And then I started to feel he's dangerous. And then I felt panic. And then I said to John, my husband, we have to get away from him. And he can't see us, so let's run now. So we ran, we banked around the corner. There's an elevator. I hit the elevator button. We walk into the elevator. And I noticed there was no, the door goes like this, right? But it was a door. So we ran into this elevator and I shut the door. And a woman goes, wait, 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 I want to come in. I don't really know what her part was, but she got into the elevator with us. All of a sudden, I felt this, the elevator, you could feel it kind of go clunk and then it starts to do this, but it went down where we were like, whoa. And so we were immediately at the bottom. The door opens. The woman disappears. She goes out. There was a hallway and there was a door across from us. And I said, I was curious about what was in that room across the way. And everything was light. You know how hospitals have those fluorescent lights where it's like, oh, everything is that light. But there was a room and the door was open. And I walked, and John was kind of behind me. And I walk in, and it was this vast room. And it was dark in there. And I could see because there was a little office in the back that had a glass partition window that partitioned itself off from the vast room that was in. So whatever was going on there, the light was allowing it to be dimly lit. And I walked in and I saw so many gurneys, and on the gurneys, and they were all crooked like this. Like, I mean, it was like there was so many, it was almost like there were so many casualties that they were just ramming the gurneys in there because they weren't like they should be. There was no order, it was chaotic. And so every gurney, you couldn't get through it, like they were just shoving them in. And it was all children, and they were like, that St. Jude children, like they're dying of cancer. It's a special cancer hospital. And on every gurney was a child of different ages, and some were unconscious, and they all had IV. I noticed some had IVs. They probably should have all had them, but just I'm saying what I saw. And so I'm looking like, oh my gosh, I mean, they were sick, they were dying. All these children, as far as I can see on these gurneys, all of them were in the death process. And there was a little boy, a little Hispanic boy. He was just so sick looking at me. Others were sleeping. And then there was a girl, she looked like she was an Indian girl, India. And she rose up on her elbow and she looked at me and she was gaunt. And she had these big dark brown eyes and she locked her eyes on me and was just looking at me. And I looked away and I saw the room was full, like this half of the room now where we were standing, and far, far down was all full of people who were sitting there. And I couldn't see them because it was dark. It was just like shadow. They were shadowy, like they were cut out of like black construction paper or something. I mean, it was just, but they were all filled in chairs. And I looked and I'm wondering, what is all this about? And I looked behind me, directly behind me, and there was two open chairs. So I said, let's sit down. And so we sat down, and I'm looking at that little girl, and she's staring at me, and she is dying. And just then, and I didn't know what to make of it. I don't know, really even know why I sat down at that point. And all of a sudden, I heard a noise, and I looked at the door that we had come in, and I saw a little army of children. And there was light all around them, but they were marching like a little troop. And like their knees were going up. And when they came into the room, every face on that child, there was big, tall ones, there was little ones, and they were all mixed in between. It wasn't like the tall ones were at the back and then down. I mean, it was like they were all just like that. And I'm looking at them and they're coming in. And all of a sudden, there appeared like an opening that made it was like a processionary pathway. Like, I didn't even know how that could even have happened because we barely could fit walking in. But all of a sudden, I saw people and they were all people. I couldn't tell if they were children or people, but still they were people I couldn't see because it was dark. And they lined that procession. And these children came in and they were wearing garments that I was particularly like, what are they wearing? And they were wearing garments that were colorful. They had all colors and they, some had like these big wristbands that were made like a flashing silver. And they, I could see like silver plates on their chest and, but it was part of their garment and they were full of joy. And I thought to myself, what is this? Look at these children marching in into this room at the bottom of this hospital in the dark with all these dying children with and all the people. I could feel there was no hope. They were defeated. They were waiting for the death. They were powerless and they were sitting in darkness. And here comes this procession of children and they were heavenly. And their faces were glowing and they had looks on their faces that could only be described as something, though I've never been to heaven, I would say only a face of heaven. That face can be seen like that from heaven. And as they were coming in, they were full of joy and they were singing and I couldn't hear what they were singing, but it didn't matter. They were so full of joy. And so I started to clap. But my hands, like something was preventing my hands from clapping. And I said, no, I fought it. And I said, no, I will clap. And so I stood up. And as much as I would try to clap, my hands are like that. Like there was a force that was trying to stop me from clapping. And I said, I don't care. I said, I'm going to clap. I'm going to clap. And so this force of power did not want me clapping. It didn't want me there, so to speak. And so then I woke up, needless to say, because you all know me, and those of you who do know that as soon as I get a dream like that, I leave the room and I go out into the living room. And I sat down and I felt that scripture, produce your cause, bring forth your strong reasons. And I was still ruminating, like the dream was still moving within me. It was still moving. I could still feel my everything, all the bits and parts and pieces in it. And I was telling the Lord today, I said, I don't know what is happening. I cannot describe it, but I felt like there was a part of me that was still holding back. But I felt that nothing, I could not pray anything else, and neither did I want to. I said, no, I said, I'm going to say it, Lord. And so I began to release words that were coming out of the depth of my soul, out of my heart, about how I felt about serving him and how much I loved him, that I cared nothing for this world, and that I cared only for him and what his interests are, that I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to speak a word. I said, every beat of my heart, every time I blink, every flinch of a muscle, every step I take, I said, let it be consecrated unto you. I said, what have I to do to hold anything back from you? I said, Lord, sometimes I just feel so small. Sometimes I feel so small and so dumb and so like on the slow lane in the fast track of the highways of this world. And as I was pouring out my soul in me, I felt the Lord taking it, and I began to think about what that dream meant, and this is what I believe, and I was speaking with my good friend, Mina Lee Jones, and I was telling her about my dream, And it was a time I think she wanted to hear it too, for it blessed her. But here's what I believe this was, and she did help me in the to see it, because I was still like, I there's some my dreams. I'm conservative across the board. But anyways, so what this I see is that this really is a dream for all of us, really, because we see right now that we are at the end of time. She was saying something to me, you know what, Joni, there are so many people that are born into the kingdom that are so brand new. They don't have the 30 years, the 20 years, the 40 years. They don't have the years we've had. And it's true, they don't have the years. And Satan is taking them down wholesale with false doctrines and existential revelations of his word, and counterfeiting him and giving him a thrill a minute with soulish feelings and flesh feelings that they're hearing from Jesus Christ, and they are not. And they are still babes. They still are not rooted and grounded, but they're giving sensations to feel like they've arrived at some sort of peak of spiritual giftings, and they just haven't been. So in the dream, John and I are on a journey that represents our journey. Because we weren't in goal. I mean, there was no real destination. We were like, let's continue on. That was a resting place. That motel was a resting place. And all the shoes left behind were those that had stopped by too on their weary journey to the heavenly country. And they left their shoes there because they would not need them anymore. Because sometimes you see, like I was saying, you cul-de-sac and you want to. You outgrow shoes. They don't work anymore. You have to go on with your journey. And so you leave behind, up until that point, what you no longer use. And then the man represented deception. You know, we all want to serve the Lord. We all want to do things for the Lord. We all want to stretch forth our hands to the poor. We want to do all those things that Christ has put in our hearts to do. But you see, he represented someone who needed help. But whatever he was, what represented something shady, something dangerous, and something to flee from. And so we have to be aware in these last days that it's not what we think. Be very careful. Be very careful what you're agreeing to do. Or even helping. You have to have discernment. So, you know, this has to do with me always like, oh, I want to be there to help people and I want to, you know, do things for the Lord. So, anyways, John and I, we fled. So that shows get away as fast as you can, because there's something that was so dangerous about that man. But we got away because the Holy Spirit let me realize that. So that elevator represent didn't have a sliding door. It had a door that represents us going to through a door that's ready for us to enter into. It's ready for you and it's ready for me. It's ready for all. And then what happened? We went down. See, the rest of the hospital, there was everybody was coming to and fro and business as usual. And of course, a hospital represents sick people. And so when we went down and I went into that room, and there was a room full of all those little children. I believe that represents the children of, I don't re represent, it's just me. I'm sorry, let me slow down. It did not represent just little children as I saw them. It represents the children of God. It represents those who are dying on the vine. And that I had to be taken. John and I had to be taken. But even though he was in the dream, I'm going to focus on myself because everything was directed towards me. That what I saw were people who were dying, children. Boys and girls, there were different. There was a Hispanic boy, there was the Indian girl from India, and there were all these different nationality children down there, some I couldn't make out. There was the other people who were sitting there who were hopeless. They were waiting for them to die, and everybody was in darkness. And the look of that little girl was and someone's here to help us. I mean, it was like, I'm not going to add words to it, but it was like, help me. Like she was locked into my eyes. And that troop of children, the processionary troop, you know, when they came in, I said to myself in my heart, I said, those are them which had they have gotten the victory. I knew that in my dream. I said those words. They are those who got the victory. That's how I said it. And they were happy. You know what? That revealed to me that there is in this last time, those of us who have gotten the victory, we have gotten the victory so many times over the enemy, against the enemy. God has brought all of us through so many terrible things. He has destroyed the enemy's power over us. Yes, there's more to do. Yes, there's people to pray for. That's a give me, but I'm talking about maybe that's you, and this is meant for you to hear. They came back. The Lord showed me that these processionary children, they were like, they were from heaven. They came back, but in a sense, it's like we used to be those who were dying at one time, but Christ saved us. There were people that the heaven sent to our lives that prayed for us, that brought forth the light of Jesus Christ into our darkness, where we were just waiting to die. And their victory that I saw is our victory from heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. So I believe that at this, what Jesus showed me, your work is not above where there is this hospital, which represents the postmodern church, where people really just are doing their own thing. But down below, there was a door. And then there was another door, and I was taken to this place where I saw those that are dying. Let us have a holy argument with Christ. Plead your cause with the God of Jacob. Bring forth your strong reasons. Like that girl, Holy Ann. She brought forth her strong reasons. She did. And she used his word, just like that Capernaum story of the boy in Capernaum at the point of death. And that man said, look, I don't have time to go over miracles and signs and wonders. Just come down before my son dies. I mean, when you're saying that to Jesus, just do it. Just do it. I don't need to see miracles, signs and wonders. I believe you. Just come down. Can we not ask God, come down to us? Let the mountains, touch the mountains and let them smoke. Let them run down like wax. Amen. You know what I believe with all my heart? God wants us to have many mounted transfigurations through our life. He wants us to be like Moses and Elijah and Abraham and Daniel and all the others who through the centuries and the millennia have produced their cause. They have brought forth their strong reasons to the God of Jacob, the king. And you know what? You want to be one of those. Don't be afraid. Do it. Because think about what he will do on your behalf. Think about it. Bring it forth. Be bold. Do it. I said to myself today, I have no idea what tomorrow will be or what I'll be ever doing in my life for the rest of the days, but who cares? No way. I'm not a Sapphira. I'm not holding anything back from you, Lord. And you don't either. What are you going to do? Hold everything back from him and then wind up in heaven one day and say, and have a should have sorrow? No. See, Jesus wants you to walk on the water. He wants you to have transfigurations all through your life. He wants you to go about doing good just like him. He wants that light that is shining in you, that shines so brightly that destroys the presence of the enemy. He wants that light in you to go out into this world, whatever you're doing, and let it shine brightly, and don't be afraid. And be bold. Do it. You know that saying, when you have nothing left to lose, you know, it's like, we don't, what are we going to keep? Man, I'll tell you something right now. There's a joy in knowing that we are part of that little procession, them that have gotten the victory. Are we going to wait to say, well, one day we'll be in heaven and we'll be, say, Lord, we have gotten the victory. I said, we have gotten the victory now in Christ. And now march like them. And all those that are around you that are dying, rejoice before them. Just rejoice. And let's join that procession and march with them. You know, in closing, I found a quote I love so much. And it says, strive to be one of the few who walk this earth with the ever-present realization every morning, noon, and night that the unknown people call, that the unknown that people call heaven is directly behind things that are visible. Praise the Lord. Remember to base your reality not on the consciousness of God's presence, but in the very reality of it, and watch what he will do. Produce your cause and bring forth your strong reasons unto the King, the God of Jacob, and watch what he will do.